There's one spot left.
Okay, guys, the plan for today is we're going to be short, we're going to be to the point, we're going to be simple. We're going to cover the question of Akira Skupa, Akira Sefet Sami, the question of Yad Alonach, and the question of the status of a Yad as a Carmelis or not as a Carmelis. Either tomorrow or Tuesday, depending on popular demand or request, we'll do Rediyas HaPas, and we'll do Chateke Deshu Zake Chavercha, and Kansinan Shogi Gatu Mezid. I think that's the smartest way to break it down. It'll be short, it'll be simple, it'll be to the point. So let's begin. So we have the Gemara in Daf Gimel Amud Aleph. We have a question of Akiras Kufo ka Akiras Chefetz Dami or not. Now this Gemara poses two very important questions. One question is about the status of the Akira with respect to the Hanacha, and of course the Hanacha with respect to the Akira. And it poses a question about the status of the guf. So here let's zoom in on the first question. What does the Gemara tell us about the status of the Akira with respect to the Hanacha? So the Gemara phrases the question as simply Akira skufo ka Akira schefetz dami and doesn't take a stand on Hanacha. Tosas immediately jumps in and Tosas says hu adin. There are no grounds to distinguish between the criteria for Akira and the criteria for Hanacha. So when the Gemara has a question for Akira, the Gemara has the very same question with respect to Hanacha. Tosos Shishanim quotes the Rash Mishantz, who disagrees, and he argues that the suffix is only with respect to Akira, but the Gemara takes it for granted that Hanacha Skufa will be Kanacha Schefetz Dami. Tosos Shishanim points to the Gemara on Daf Dalid, where the Gemara says that maybe only Akira needs Makom Dalid al Dalid, Hanacha would not require Dalid al Dalid. And therefore he says, you see that it's easier to accomplish a Hanacha than it is to accomplish an Akira. This is surprising, because the Gemara in Daf Dalid seems to only be a Havmina in the Sugya, not a Maskana. So why was he pointing to a Havmina in order to establish a Din on the Gemara in Daf Gimel? But what you see clearly from Tosfos Yishanim is that he thinks it's easier to accomplish a Hanacha, as seen from a Havmina on Daf Dalid, than it is to accomplish an Akira, and that's going to be the Maskana on the Gemara in Daf Gimel. So clearly he would acknowledge that even though the Gemara is Masupak on Daf Dalet, in that case, everyone would agree to this case that this constitutes a real bona fide Hanacha. Tosfos Rosh explains the question on Daf Dalet, or explains the rationale of Tosfos Shantz, that an Akira needs to be a Davar Chashuv. An Akira always needs significance. It needs to be given stature, whereas a Hanacha seems to just be a way of finishing. So you don't need as stringent requirements for the din of a Hanacha as you do for an Akira. That's the Tosfos Rosh's elaboration on Tosfos Shantz's distinction. So that's our first machlokas. That's the first question of Akira versus Hanacha. The Rambam in Perek Yud Gimel, Halacha Aleph, paskins the Gemara that you need both an Akira and a Hanacha mi'algabe makom dalid al dalid. Dalid al dalid tvachim. The problem is that the Rambam in Perek Yud Dalid, Halacha Zayin, so there the Rambam paskins that if it's noch al gabe kaneh b'rishis hayachid, if something lands on a branch inside a rishis hayachid, so you're chayiv. Ask the Magen Mishnah, isn't it in the Rambam paskin a parak earlier that you need a hanach al gabe mokum dalet al dalet? Now the Rambam is saying that noch al gabe kaneh kol shehu is a hanacha. So the Magen Mishnah distinguishes based off an idea presented by the Ramban in his Chidushim and Daf Ches that this is unique to a rishis hayachid. That since a Rosh Hashayachid has mechitzos and it's ola ad l'rikia, so we could do away with the requirement of hanacha al gabe makom dalet al dalet. That's not as precise as it should be. It's not that we're doing, well, it is, but it isn't. It's both precise and imprecise. Because it's not that we're doing away with the din of hanacha al gabe makom dalet al dalet. It's that inside a Rosh Hashayachid with mechitzos, which is ola ad l'rikia, so it's considered as if it's munach al gabe makom dalet al dalet. And that's also imprecise, because it's not really munach agave makom dalet al dalet. But the point is that halachically we view the airspace of Rosh Hashayachid as having mamashos. And this is all within the daya that kluta is lav kamisha hun chadamya. Okay? So according to the first daya in the Ramban, and seemingly what the Magen Mishnah is positing for the Rambam, inside of Rosh Hashayachid you don't need a physical dalet al dalet, because halachically the whole avir Rosh Hashayachid has that status. Even though we're not paskening halachically that it's munach agabi akarka. Okay, that's one suggestion of the Ramban and Daf Ches and the Magen Mishnah Bedas Rambam. So once again, you see, you have a double distinction. A distinction between Rosh Hashayachid and Rosh Hasharabim, which is fine. and B, a distinction between Akira and Hanacha. Because even the Rambam and the Ramban who say that you need an Akira me'agabe makam dalet al dalet inside a Rishus Sayachid, they don't seem to hold that you need an Hanacha agabe makam dalet al dalet inside a Rishus Sayachid. So that's our second distinction between Akira and Hanacha. Inside Rosh Hashanah, according to the Rambam, the Rambam and the Ramban. Number three, Achshavei. The Gemara raises the possibility that there are times where something itself does not have stature of Dalet al-Dalet, but since you're Achshavei, you give it Chashivos, so halachically we view it as such. So the question is, can that be done to anything? Is anything subject, does any object, does any place lend itself to this concept of Achshavei, or are there specific standards? So Tosafot suggests that maybe it's only maybe only something which has intrinsic chashivos, then if you're achshavei, we'll do away with dalet al dalet. Tosafot Rosh elaborates, and he says that this only applies to hanacha. You can never have an achshavei for an akira. So even though with respect to hanacha you could transform a non-dalet al dalet place into dalet al dalet, you can never say that since I'm machshiv the makom ha-akira, now it's considered dalet al dalet. Why not? So here it's interesting that Tosafot Rosh seems to emphasize just the technical mechanics of the Maisa. You're about to pick something up. So the place where it's resting on is not relevant to the Maisa which you're doing. When you're doing a Hanacha onto a Makom, so then the fact that you're Machshiv that Makom, now that's determining your Makom Hanacha, and it's part of your action which you're accomplishing. So whereas the Makom Akira is totally incidental, the Makom Hanacha is essential to the Maisa. So therefore, Achshavei will work on a Hanacha, won't work on an Akira. Now this is just interesting because Tosafot Rosh earlier seemed to point to a distinction in terms of how Chashuv the Akira is relative to the Hanacha. Since the Akira is more Chashuv, so you need Dalet al Dalet, and since the Hanacha is not Chashuv, you don't. Here, Tosafot Rosh seems to be saying that with respect to Achshavei, the distinction is based off how integral the Makom is just to the Maisa. Tosafot Rosh? I think it's on Daf Hey. Daf Dalet on Beis or Daf Hey? Okay. One of them's on Daf Gimel. The first one's on Daf Gimel. Another one's on Daf Dalet on Beis. What? Yeah, he's working with Intosos. And the first one, he's working with Intosos Shams. My response would be that if someone sees a distinction, even if it's not theirs, so your inclination would be to impose what you find significant as a rationale for their distinction. Meaning somebody who has a conceptual approach to learning, when he finds a machlokas rishonim, he'll attribute a conceptual reason to it.
Yeah, but if Tosos hold of that other distinction of finishing the Lachar versus Akasha, you should also hold of Akira's Bufo, Kanahara's Bufo, Kanahara's Bufo, Kanahara's Bufo.
I'm not sure how that responds. I understand, but he's giving a rationale for Tosos Shans, and he's giving a rationale for Tosos.
You can't say the rationale is the same, because then Tosos will hold Tosos Shans, but Hanachas will hold Pasha and Hanachas
will. Okay, saying the question is because he's rejecting the idea, or he's just rejecting the application. Tosos Rosh could have said he's just rejecting the application, in which case, in Daf Dalet and Beis, that distinction would still hold. That's what I would say. Our fourth distinction between Hanacha and Akira comes from the Ravya's explanation of the Gemara on Heyam Beis, where the Gemara talks about an ego shetzaf al gabi mayim, that you have something that's floating on top of water. Is that considered munach or not? So here the Ravya distinguishes between whether it's considered a Hanacha to finish off an action of Hutzah. You did an Akira, you did a Chil for Shio, so now we just need a Hanacha l'chayiv, to mechayiv you. Or are we asking about whether it's munach, such that someone who takes it from this state is now considered to have done an akira? Remember, hanacha and hilchos Shabbos is significant for two reasons. It's the completion of the maisa chiyuv, the chiyuv of hotzah v'achnasa, but it's also a precondition for an akira. It's only considered an akira if it's from a makom hamunach. So the Rabbi says that the shayla of the Gemara and Daf Hei on the base is only with respect to the question of whether someone who does an akira afterwards did an akira mi'al gabe mokom hanacha. But everyone agrees that an ego shetzaf al gabe mayim will be considered a hanacha to finish off a maisa hotzah. Okay. So that boils down essentially to a distinction between the requirements of a hanacha to be mechayiv and the requirements of a hanacha to create an akira. What?
Only a question between akira after hanacha.
No, the question is this considered a makom hamunach? The answer is no. Is this considered a hanacha? The answer is yes. So the ramification of that is that an akira from this place is lav shmei akira, a hanacha on this place is shmei akira.
That's counter to what we suggested would be the normal svara, right?
It's counter.
I mean, we said it's much more easy to see that the gabe and akira afterwards is easy to be able to object.
Makom hamunach.
Makom hamunach. I'd like to lower the requirements, whereas a maisa to be magid this as a maisa requires something more objective.
All right, it's counterintuitive if you assume that to be mechayiv you should have higher standards.
No, like a maisa versus metzias.
Okay, assuming that a maisa would have stronger standards. One might say that since the hanacha is just finishing off the maisa hotzah, it's a maka patish. So b'chol dehu sagi. But if you want to know about the objective status of the egos that's tzafa gabi mayim, the answer is not resting, it's moving around. Right?
I guess
it's being buffeted
right.
2 and 4.
I guess maybe we gave as far in terms of someone's hand letting in someone else.
So. Right. Yeah, so we'll get to that in a second. Good. So those are 4 distinctions. Number 5, you have Tosus Yishanim quoting Tosus Shantz's view of Rashi. Tosus Yishanim in Simon Gimel, on Daf Gimel. So Tosus Yishanim said that Rashi would have to admit that with respect to Hanacha, Hanacha's Gufo is Kanacha's Chefetz Dami. After all, in the case of the Mishnah, when you're nosing the Soch Yado Shel Chaveiro, clearly we view that as a Hanacha. So isn't it obvious that hanachas gufos ka hanachas chayfetz dami? So there are different ways of posing this question on Tosi Shanim, but the most basic or the simplest way of putting it is, why not ask the question from the inverse case? Why not ask the question from the fact that I'm doing an akira from someone else's hands and I'm chayiv? So doesn't that clearly show you that hanachas gufos ka hanachas chayfetz dami? I'm stationary, the object's in my hand, somebody takes it from me. That's going to be a shmei akira. So the fact that has a shem akir, doesn't that show you that hanachas gufos ka hanachas chefetz dami? Hanachas. Doesn't that show you this is considered a makom hamunach? And it could only be considered a makom hamunach, right, if I'm considered hanachas gufos ka hanachas chefetz dami. So Tos Yishanim suggests that everyone would have to agree to that case, that Hanachas gufos kanachas chefetz dami, even though we have a shaila about akiras gufo kakiras chefetz dami. So that would be another basis to be machalik. Now one might simply say, once again, that that's not true. Hold off on that. But those would be five ways to be machalik. Okay? 5 ways to be machalik in akir nanacha. The Tosos Shantz about Hanachas Gufo Kanachas Chifetz, the Rambam about Nach Agabe Kane versus Hayachid, with the Magen Mishnah Rambam's answer. Achshevei, Tosfos Rashi's position that you could only have Achshevei for a Hanacha, not for an Akira. The Ravya's position on the Gemara and Haman base about Egos Atzaf Agabe Mayim. And Tosfos Yishanim, who thinks that everyone would acknowledge that Hanachas Gufo Kanachas Chifetz Dami from the case of the Mishnah on Beis Amrav. Yes. We have, there's a different question that could be raised as to why Tosos didn't bring a raya for Akira's Gufo ka Akira's Chefetz Dami. If you assume that's a question.
Let's say the Hanukkah question.
Yeah. Well, you could say in a Hanami, you could have. Just why bring a raya from a case where you're dealing with the Mitzias status of the Hanacha when you could bring a case from Hanacha L'Chiv?
Right, but
the question in the Gemara
would say the opposite, right? For the Rabbi, the case of taking it out of his hand is even more of a fetish.
Correct. Which is what I think Hanan was pointing out.
Right, that's not an answer. Sure.
Yeah, but the point is that it's not relevant to the question of Achiras Gufo Kakiras Hanachas Gufo Kanachas Chifetz Dami, because there the Gemara is asking about Hanacha Lechiv.
Right, but for the Rabbi, that would be a Kalachomer, what
you were saying. In a Hanami. I'm saying why Tos Yishonim didn't bring a Rai from that case is because it's not pertinent to the question on Gilam Adalaf. That's a Metzias question. This is a Maisavera question.
Okay. After that. Even though it would be a
Kavachomer for the Rabbi. Right. It's a Kavachomer, but it's not relevant. And you could also say, well, we answered in Shir, which is not important to this question of Akira and Hanacha. You could just say that there's a difference between your status when you're part of a Maisa and your status when you're totally objective. You're totally a Chafza. Good. So that's with respect to Akira and Hanacha. Now we move on to the question of Yadalo Naich. The Gemara says that Akiras Chefetz, Akiras Gufos ka Akiras Chefetz, Dami, the Eino Dome Eliyada. So what does that mean? So the Gemara says, my time, a Gufo Naich, Yada Lo Naich. So what does it mean that the Yad is not Nach? So Rashi here has his position, his infamous position. And this has to do with the status of a Yad. The Yad is always moving. You find this in other areas of halacha, maybe. You find the concept of Yadayim Askanios Heim in Hilchos Tuma and Tara. So you assume that the Yad is of a different status, even though you don't say that for the rest of the Guf. Taken in its most extreme form, Rashi means that there never could be a Shem Hanacha for the Yad, no matter what. Al Pi Din, the Yad is objectively defined as a mobile entity. Just like you have a distinction between Karka and Metalfalin, Mobilia and Karkos, you have a distinction between the mobility of a Yad and the permanence of the Guf. Tosos seems to impute this reason to Rashi. Tosos suggests that Rashi can't read the Mishnah, after all, because Yad is lo naich. Never. So how do you explain any of the cases in the Mishnah where you have Hanacha gabe Yad over your Chayiv? The Ritva takes Rashi in a different way. Okay, so that's Tosos' understanding of Rashi seems to be the most extreme, and then you have to figure out how Rashi would read the Mishnah. The Ritva understands Rashi in a different way. Not about the objective status of the Yad. It's merely a question as to where the Yad is Nach. So in most cases, the Yad is not Nach, because it's attached to the Guf and it's moving. B'luyit Tsuyer, you have a case where the Yad seems to be Nach al Gabi Karka, that would constitute a Halachik HaNacha. So the Ritva suggests that if the Yad is within Gimel Tvachim of the Karka, so then you'd have a Shem HaNacha, because Yado is al Gabi Karka. In which case, Rashi Shita is just talking about most cases of Yad where it's not al gabi karka. And the point in the Ritva is that seems to hold even if the Yad is in a different Rishus. I mean, so if your Yad is al gabi karka in a different Rishus from the Guf, so that would constitute a Hanacha. Tosos themselves hold that the relevant distinction is Yado Basar Gufo Garir, which means that when the Yad is in the same Rishus as the body, so then the Yad is batal to the Guf. It's merely an extension of the Guf. Since the Guf is Nach, the Yad is Nach. The question is when the Yad is separate from the body. So then you say Yad Basar Gufo Gayer. The Ritva is saying that Rashi would disagree, and Rashi would say that if you have a Hanachas Yad in another Rishus, that would be a Hanacha L'chayev. The Ramban pushes back against Tosus's read of Rashi, and the Ramban suggests that Rashi would acknowledge that when the Yad is in the same Rishus as the Guf, so then we say Humunach al Gabe Gufo. Just like the Ritva is willing to suggest that the Yad al Gabe Karka is considered a Hanacha, if you could say that Yado is Munach al Gabe Gufo, which itself is Nach, then you would say you could have a Hanacha in the Rishus of the Guf as well. Okay. We suggested in Shir something a bit different for Rashi. Maybe the idea with the distinction of the Ramban, maybe it's true, Rashi will acknowledge, like Tosfos, when the Yad and the Guf are in the same Rishus, it would have a Hanacha. But not because the reason of the Ramban that the Yad is Nach al Gabi HaGuf, but maybe the question as to whether you see the Yad as having its own status, its own autonomy, maybe that's contingent on whether the Yad is in the same Rishus as the Guf. So when the Yad is in a different Rishus, so then we say Yad lo Nach, because there's a Chalos Yad, and there's a chalos guf, and one can't be reducible to the other. When the Yad and the Guf are in the same Rishus, So then halachically, we don't recognize the yad as an independent entity. So it's not that yado is nacha gabe gufo. The point is there only is gufo, and gufo is nach. And mele you'll have a hanacha. So those, I say, are four interpretations, or four positions on Shitas Rashi. If Rashi, Shitas Rashi kipshuto, as Tosos interprets it, you have the Ritva's position, which is the second understanding of Rashi. You have the Ramban's suggestion, a distinction between Rishuyos based on Yado Noch Al Gabe Gufo. And then you have the suggestion that we suggested in Shir, that there's no shame Yad when the Yad and the Guf are in the same Rishus. Then, of course, you have Tosus' position, that it's a din yada basa gufo garir, as we just mentioned. And then you have the fascinating position of Rabbeinu Chananel. Rabbeinu Chananel seems to suggest that it depends on the tzura of the hotzah over here. Rabbeinu Chananel seems to say that when you have a masa kaved, so then everybody would agree that that's considered hanachas gufo. When you have a masa kal, then you have a shayla about hanachas yad, shmei hanacha or not. So the question is, what's the distinction of Rabbeinu Chananel? So what it seems to be is that it's just a question of how you interpret the Maisa. When you have a very heavy object, so you can't say that the Yad is what's picking up the house, or the Yad is picking up the car. The Yad doesn't have that power. But even though the Yad is doing the Maisa, you have to view the entire Guf as being involved. So then you'll say, Hanachas Gufos Ka Hanachas Chayfet Stami. The shaila is in cases where you could say that it's the yad and only the yad that's doing the maisa. Then we have the interesting position of the Rush, which seems to undermine certain cases of hotzah, where the Rush says that since akiras yad is lav shmei akira, if I'm standing inside a rishus hayachid and somebody puts something in my hands, and then I'm poshet yadi lechutz, the object is in my hand, I did a hotzah, I do a hanacha on the other rishus. So I'm now pater. Why? Because Akira's Yado is Lav Shmei Akira. The Yad is always batal to the Guf. So even when my hand is in a new Rishus now, it's merely an extension of my body. So that's not a Hotzal, Chayiv. So you have cases where you could be standing in one Rishus, you could push a Yadu L'chutz, do a Hanacha, and you still won't say that you violated Hotzal. It's a big Chiddush of the Rush. So those are six, I won't say six Shitas, but we have four shitos within Rashi, the shita of Rabbeinu Chananel, the shita of Tosos, and the position of the Rosh. Then the Gemara in Daf Gimel and Beis moves to a new question. What's the status of the Yad? Not the status of the Yad that the Gemara just inquired as to whether it's Noch or whether it's not Noch or whether it's Batel, Agav Gufo or not Batel, but the question of what Rishus does the Yad take on? The Gemara is a cryptic statement, and the Gemara says, Eino kirshus harabim, and it's Eino kirshus hayachim. Rashi understands the question in the Gemara as being a question of embassies. Mina hava mina is that if a person's standing inside a rishus hayachid and he's poshet yadu l'chutz, that the yad should take on the status of the rishus hayachid. Dame ayin basa. Know from whence you came. That's the embassy question. The Baal HaMor doesn't like it. And the Baal HaMor says no. It's never a question of extending the Rishus of the Guf into the Yad. It's a question of the Yad being Batel to the Rishus in which it's in. So if a person standing in Rishus HaYachid, his hands in Rishus HaRabim, the Havmin is that the Yad should take on the status of a Rishus HaRabim. The Yad should always be Batel to the place that it's in. Now to understand Rashi's position, it's helpful to view it in light of the Ramban's objection. Ramban challenged Rashi. What's the Havamina? That if you're standing inside a Rishus HaRabim and you're poshet yado l'tocha Rishus HaYachin, that your hand now could have the din of Rishus HaRabim. How could you ever have a din Rishus HaRabim inside Mechitzos? That's the Ramban's objection. Now Rashi could respond in one of two ways. Rashi could respond by denying the premise of the Ramban that there is a Rishus HaRabim inside this Rishus HaYachid. And Rashi would say very simply that I'm never advocating that there is a Rishus HaRabim here. I'm only suggesting that there's an extension of a Rishus HaRabim into this Rishus. So if you're asking me, is there Rosh Hashanah Rabbim inside the Rosh Hashanah Yachid? The answer is no. But does the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim have extension? Does it have influence inside the Rosh Hashanah Yachid? The answer would be yes. It would be action at a distance. Okay. No one thinks that the Yad itself is a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, but the force of the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim is exerted into this Rosh Hashanah Yachid through the Yad. So even though you can never have a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim inside Mechitzos, over here you only have the influence of Rosh Hashanah Rabbim inside Mechitzos. That would be one way Rashi could counter. The second way Rashi would counter is to deny that there's any contradiction in having a full-fledged Rosh Hashanah Rabbim inside a Rosh Hashanah Yachid. Now this is not, it's not clear what the Ramban's real objection is. Is the Ramban's objection that you can't have a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim inside Mechitzos? That's a Tarti D'Sasri? It's halachically impossible? Or is the Ramban's objection that you can't have a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim inside a Rosh Hashanah Yachid? The Nafkamina would be whether or not the Shita of the Rashba is relevant. The Rashba has a Shita that you could have a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim inside Mechitzos. If you have some place like Times Square, which is Al-Pi Din defined as Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, it's the public square of the city, then even if you built walls around it, it wouldn't constitute a Rosh Hashanah Yachid. Because Al-Pi Din, Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, if it is the Makom HaRabbim, then it can never have a status of Rosh Hashanah Yachid. So according to that Rashba, you see that Rosh Hashanah Rabbim and Mechitzos is not a stira. So if the Ramban's objection here is that Rosh Hashanah Rabbim and Mechitzos, so you might say it would have the same status as the Rashba's Sratya Gedola, public square. If the Ramban's objection is about having a Rosh Hashanah Yachid inside a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, Rosh Hashanah Rabbim inside a Rosh Hashanah Yachid, then you have no proof from the Rashba. Because over there, Al-Pi Din is a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. That's his whole point. Isaac.
Do you think that Ramban would be okay with the influence idea of Rosh Hashanah Rabbim?
He may very well be. In fact, it depends how you read this next, how you take this next point. The Baal HaMor clearly read the sugi differently, and he brought two rayas. Not two rayas. He did not bring two rayas. The Baal HaMor read the sugi differently, and he read the Gemara as making a dual point. You know that Yado Shel Adam is not Kirush HaRabim. Why? Because if the Yad, meaning, you know that the Yad is not batel to the Rishus to which it's going to, because otherwise you should have been Chayiv at the moment of Chilof Rishuyos. The moment you put your hand into the Rishus HaYachid, your hand is now batel to the Rishus HaYachid, and now you've done a Chilof Rishuyos. That's one point that the Baal HaMor makes in the Gemara. The second point the Baal HaMor makes is that if your hand is batel to the Rishus, so then when the Ani puts his hand into the Rishus HaYachid, and the Baal HaBayis has no tel mitocha, that should be pater umutter. Because the Baal HaBayis is now taking from inside his own rishus. He's taking from rishus hayachid. That's the double way the Baal HaMor reads the Gemara. Now both of those points make an important assumption about this position. The first point makes an assumption that merely stretching your hand into this other rishus could have a chalo sheim hanacha. Halachically, that would be defined as anach. Your hand is resting in midair. For that reason, we suggested Tosfos Rid, when he quotes the Baal HaMor's position, so he leaves out the read of the Gemara. He only quotes one read of the Gemara. He never has a Havamina that you should be chayiv at the moment of penetrating the Rishos. The second assumption, or second point of the Baal HaMor is also vulnerable to objection. Because you still might say that even though your hand is batel to the rishus of which it's in, well, so you might say that there's an extension of the rishus which it came from. So it's not pater or mutter, because even though now your hand halachically is batel to the rishus hayachid, nonetheless, it comes from the influence of rishus harabim. So you might say that influence of the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim is still sufficient to make it Pater Aval Aser. Now here we noted that the Ramban objects to that read of the Gemara. The Ramban only quotes the read which Tosfos Rid was not happy with. Ramban only quotes the chiyuv b'shas penetration of the rishiyos. He does not quote this idea that she patur mutter. Now, why? It could be that the Ramban is okay with the notion of the influence of the rishis harabim onto the rishis hayachid. So he's willing to acknowledge that that would be patur avalaser. In which case, the Ramban's rejection earlier of Shitas Rashi would only be based on the fact that Rashi wanted to say that that should be a full-fledged influence of Rosh Hashayachid into Rosh Hasharabim to the extent that it would create a chiyuv. Meaning, so if you put the two Rambans together, you might say the Ramban's okay with talking about influence to the extent that it's Patar of Alasar. The Ramban's not okay with talking about influence to the extent that it would be Chayiv or Patar. That's my answer to your... to your question. Good. So those are the two main reads of the Gemara. Rabbeinu Chananel, according to Beis Kornstein, has a very big chiddush in reading the Havmin of the Gemara. Hitherto, the question has been, does the Yad extend, is the Yad an extension of the Rishus that it came from, or is the Yad batel to the Rishus to whence it came? Rabbeinu Chananel says no. The question of the Gemara is about the objective status of the Yad. Is the Yad, is Yadu Shal Adam Kirishus HaYachid? Or is Yadu Shal Adam Kirishus HaRabim? Simpliciter, no qualification. Regardless of where it came, irrespective of where it's going. So here, Rabbeinu Chananel seems to bring a... So Rabbeinu Chananel reads the Gemara very creatively. The Gemara is saying that if Yadu Shal Adam is a Rishus HaRabim always, so then when the Ani is poshid Yadu Lefnim, and takes from the Yad of the Baal HaBayis, so that should be a case of Ptur. Because he's being oker from the Yad, which is the Rishus HaRabim, and he's being meniach in a Rishus HaRabim. And the Rishus HaYachid case, inverted. That's one read of Rabbeinu Chananel, suggested by Rabbi Yosef of Beis Kornstein. There's another way of reading the Rabbeinu Chananel, which is, I think, a suggestion of the Beis Zibel, quoted in the footnotes of the Hirschler edition. I think it's Hirschler. Maybe it's the... might be a Vagshal edition. Not sure. So the other way of reading is that Rabbeinu Chananel is arguing that you can have an Akira and a Hanacha Bevas Achas. Why? Right, because if you're notel from the Yad of the Baal HaBayis, if Yad Shel Adam is Chashuva Ki Rishus HaRabim, let's say your Poshe Yadu Nifsha L'chutz, so it's going to be Rishus HaRabim, then the moment you take it from his hand, I'm not sure I have the case right. Anybody remember the case of Rabbeinu Chananel?
Yeah.
Yeah, what's the case?
If I stretch my hand out, and then...
If the Yadu Shel Ani is Chashuva Ki Rishus HaRabim, and the moment he takes it out of the Yad of the Baal HaBayis Bifnim, it should be an Akira and a Hanacha B'Vas Achas.
If it is an embassy to wherever my body is.
Correct. Good. So Rabbeinu Chananel then is not telling us something about the objective status of the Yad. He's telling us the Chiddush about the nature of Akira and Hanacha. Akira and Hanacha cannot occur simultaneously. We'd have to ask how that squares with the position of the Ravid, who holds that Akira's Rishos is Shmei Akira. According to the Ravid, could you have an Akira and a Hanacha Bas Achas?
I looked in the Ravid, and he only talks about
Akira.
Akira, he
does. Right. The Shaila is...
The Pashas is that it has a Hanacha Mamash afterwards at some point.
Right. It's not simultaneous with the Akira.
The Meiri does say that. The Meiri does, in fact, say that it's that instant you're Chayiv Shabbos.
There's no hanacha.
So apparently,
it's like an ultimate chila for shios. Where's that?
Babavacha,
something like that. All right, in the Meiri. Well, we'll have to get back to you on that one. You don't sound very confident. What? Standard Vilna edition of Shas. Fine. Here we move to our final topic.
What's the problem with having a kirvan of the last achas? Why would that be problematic?
Well, you might say that just by definition, they have to be distinct activities.
Why would you want to say that?
I don't know. There has to be a way of pointing to an akira and pointing to a hanacha.
That's
And you, by definition, you can't say that, oh, a chutzah happens simultaneously. It's a, by definition, it's a process. Processes can incur instantaneously. What?
I mean,
and you might deny that it's a process.
Right,
but given that the mechayev, no, but given that the mechayev is nakir nanacha, you might say by definition chutzah is a process of carrying.
Here you go.
Something's not carrying if the carrying happens instantaneously. By definition, in physics, right, movement is defined by there being some. Correct me if I'm wrong. But movement is defined by there being some temporal difference.
Initial and final position.
But position is a function of time.
Not always.
No. Not true. Yakir, is position defined by time? Movement, is movement defined by time?
Not with electrons in the tunneling. They can tunnel from one point.
The physics in the time of Chazal, when they established the dinim of Akir and Hanacha, was contingent on time.
Right.
Okay, good. That concludes our discussion of these. Peval Medalat and Babas. Okay, that concludes our discussion of these three topics. You have the question of the relationship between Akir and Hanacha. You have the question of Yado Lo Naich. And you have the question of Yado Shal Adam Chashuva Kedal Radalit. Now, you have the question of Yado Shal Adam Lokir Shisram Lokir Shisayachit. One final point to cover is the question of Yado Shal Adam Chashuva Kikarmelis. Once the Gemara moves away from Rosh Hashayachit and Rosh Hashirabim, the Gemara says, Elamai is Kikarmelis. Now, the question, and then the Nafkamin is whether there's a Knas Lahadur Lagabeula. Now, the Knas question we'll discuss next week. We'll discuss either tomorrow or Tuesday, whatever you prefer. But what does the Gemara mean when it suggests that Yad is a Karmelis? Now, in part, this is going to depend on our broader notion of a Karmelis, and whether a Karmelis is just our way of saying that it's neither Rosh HaRabim or Rosh HaYachid, or whether a Karmelis has independent halachic force. So what does it mean for something to be a Karmelis? Is Karmelis defined by it being just neither of the two Rishiyos of Rosh HaYachid or Rosh HaRabim? Or does a Karmelis have its own status as a Rishos? And we'll see. Is Karmelis really a Malkum Ptur, Doraisa? Well, here we just raised three important Shitos that highlight this question. Number one, Tosus' Shita in Dibra Maschil, Ma'o Shaitasa Ke Karmelis on Gimel and Beis, where Tosus notes that the Gemara never has a Havamina even, that a Yad is really a Karmelis. Because if a Yad is really a Karmelis, then it would contradict the case of the Gemara in Irvin, which the Gemara says is explicitly mutter. The case there being, if you're poshet yado lechutz, you're in one rishus, your hand is in the other rishus, so your hand can move around whatever objects it wants in that other rishus, so long as it doesn't bring them back in. But if your yad is a karmelis, then you're doing chutzah between the karmelis and the rishus harabim. So Tosfos says clearly the Gemara only means that it's a relative karmelis to the rishus in which your body's in. That's point number one. Point number two. Tosus is mesupok whether the Gemara means to say that Yado Shel Adam is a Karmelis as a Knas, or whether Yado Shel Adam ki Karmelis is Betoras Isser. If it's a Knas, then it's an artificial construction. We Knas him such that his hand is ki Karmelis. If the Gemara means Isser, then it could be more about the status of the Yad. Number three, point raised by the Rashba in our Sugya. If Yado Shel Adam is ki Karmelis, then generally we say it's usur to take from a Rosh HaYachid through a Karmelis into a Rosh HaRabim. So anything that goes through a Karmelis will be usur. Midrabana. Midraisa, it's pater. So the Rashba wants to know then, why is it mutter over here in the case of Lamala Miyud? Why is it mutter to do Hotzah if Yad Shel Adam is really a Karmelis? It should be usur to take something from Rosh HaRabim through a Karmelis into Rosh HaYachid. So here, this one answer the Rashba suggests that Yadosh L'Adam is not really a Karmelis. When the Gemara says a Karmelis, it just means that it has certain Isurim. But that it should have a Chalos of a Karmelis, that the Gemara never suggested. That's one answer in the Rashba. So you have three Shitas just in our Gemara that take a stance on whether Yadosh L'Adam is really a Karmelis. And the corollary question is whether or not it makes sense to say that a Yad could have a din of a Karmelis. Meaning, if a Karmelis is an objective Rishus, then we might say that a Rishus can't inhere in a Yad. If Karmelis is a way of saying it has neither the characteristics of Rishus Ram or Rishus Hayachid, then it makes more sense. Okay, so we'll pick up either tomorrow or Tuesday. I'll send an email, what people prefer, with the last topic of Rediyas Tapas and Kansin and Shogegatu Mezen.